If you trust him, would you give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Amen. As you turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, the second chapter, I want to read just a couple of verses to you tonight. First, we'll read in the book of 1 John, the second chapter. We're going to read verse 15, 16, and 17. And then we'll go to Old Faithful, something you know very well, St. John 3 and 16. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me tonight. Amen. Silence those devices. Amen. As we reverence the Word of God tonight. Amen. 1 John 2 and 15. I want to continue on our Hope for the Heart series tonight. Amen. I really feel this burning in my soul. Amen. I told my wife, I said, on the way to church, I said, you know, I don't really know that the Lord could speak a more fitting word into this body right now. I really feel like this is something that the Lord wants us to hear. Amen. The book of 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15, shout yes when you're there. Amen. This was Brother Levon Bond, an old preacher friend of mine. This was his favorite passage of Scripture. He loved to preach this verse, and tonight I want to try to preach it to you. 1 John 2 and 15, the word of the Lord said, love not the world. Man, that's a whole mouthful right there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now join me in the book of St. John, the third chapter and the 16th verse. I want to read another verse that on the surface and in the flesh, when you read these two verses together, to some it would seem as if it was a contradiction. But it's not a contradiction. How many know the Word of God does not contradict itself? Amen. The book of St. John, the third chapter and the 16th verse, the word of the Lord said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I want to preach to this body for a few moments tonight. Amen. As we continue on our Hope for the Heart series, part 3, I want to preach to you simply this: love not the world. Love not the world. One more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord all over this house? Amen. As you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Love not the world. Amen. I feel this in my heart tonight. There's a somberness. Someone said earlier today, said, man, church is going to be somber tonight. And you fully expect when a body loses someone that they love, amen, that there will be a somberness, amen. But I feel, amen, a solemn and a urgent word in my spirit tonight. Amen. And I want to tell this body, I want to remind this body, amen, we're living in the last hours of the last days. We are. We're living in the last hours, the final hours of the last days. Unless you got your head in the sand, unless you're not paying any attention at all, things are turning quickly, and we're in the final hours. We're in the home stretch. The trumpet's about to sound. The Lord is coming soon, Amen. He's coming back for a church that has made itself ready. He's coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. Amen. And there has, if there's ever been a moment, amen, when the church must make up its mind, amen, who and what we love is right now. It's right now because we're in the final hours of the last days. Amen. And we got to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. We don't have time for playing games. We don't have time for patty cake. We don't have time for playing church. Amen. It's time to get serious with God in the final hours of the last days. Amen. Our text tonight opens with a very clear apostolic command. Love not the world. Amen. Well, I don't know. You can get more apostolic than that, Brother Joe. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But yet we read this verse, amen, as we open tonight with our text. And then we go back and we read in the book of St. John, amen, after John told us in 1 John 3, in 1 John to love not the world, we read in St. John that we are told to love the world, amen. And on the surface, amen, we read, for God so loved the world, amen, and it seems as if there's a contradiction, but there is no contradiction, amen. The Word of God is showing us two different worlds. How many know there's two different worlds tonight? Amen, there's a world, the Word of God is teaching us that there are two different worlds, and one is a world of people. A world of souls, a world of men and women and children. There are broken people. There are hurting people. There are people that have been through hell and back on earth. There's people who suffered things that they never should have had to suffer in this life. Amen. And they are made in the image of God. Amen. No matter what you've been through, no matter how far you've sank in sin, no matter how far the devil lured you away or distracted you away, you are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. And this is what one writer is talking about, a world of people, a world of souls, a world of men and women and children. People that were made in the likeness and in the image of God. And the other writer is writing about a worldly system, a broken and a fallen culture that is driven by sin, that is driven by pride. It's driven by lust. It's driven by entertainment. It's driven by media. And it's driven by all things that tend to distract the body of Christ. It's two different things. One is the world as in the people that God created. The other is in the worldly system. The things that are meant to distract us and to detour us. Amen. And we are meant to love. We are created to love the people of God. But we are not created to love this worldly system and this broken culture. Amen, that is trying to steal our children from us, that's trying to destroy our marriages, that's trying to divide us so they can conquer us. No, God wants us to come together, Brother Tim. God wants us to love one another. God wants us to be unified. God wants us to be standing together, loving and praying and lifting one another up in the name of Jesus. So we're to love the world. We're to love one another. We're to love people. We're to love, but we're not to love sin. And we're not to love the worldly system that we're living in today. Amen. And I feel an unction from the Holy Ghost to warn this body tonight. Don't be distracted and don't get the worldly system confused with the world that God commanded you to love. Because you can be in this world and not of this world. Come on, somebody. You can hold on to Calvary and pull people at the same time. But you're to be in this world but not love this world. Amen. We're to love the people, not the system. Amen. We're to love the people and not the system. John said it very plainly. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Church, if the worldly system has our affection, our passion, our time, our loyalty, then let me tell you something, then God cannot have your heart. You can't have both. The Bible teaches us very plainly that no man can serve two masters. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. Come on. And if you're lukewarm, he said, come on, you're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. And if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Amen. The writer let us know, amen, very plainly, amen, that we are to love people, but we are not to be in love with this worldly system today. Amen. And if we are, the love of the Father is not in us. Can I tell you, there are things that are vying for your attention, your passion, your pride. Amen. Your time. Amen. This is one of the reasons why the Word of God commands us to keep the Sabbath. How many know we are to take a rest sometimes? We're to pay attention to our family sometimes. We're to pay attention to our soul sometimes. We're to pay attention to our children sometimes. We're to take a break from all these things that are muddying up our minds. And we need to get clear. We need to get real. And we need to get passionate about our walks with God again. Because if you love this world, the Bible tells us very plainly, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. And if the worldly system has your affection, your passion, everything that you have to offer, God does not have your heart. And I want that to sink into the minds of this body tonight. The Bible tells us that the world passes away. The things of this world are temporary. They are carnal. And they're going to pass away. You can make millions of dollars in this life and you will not take one penny with you. You can build all the friends. You can build an army of friends in this life, and not one of them will go with you unless they have been through the plan of salvation and they have repented of their sins and they've been baptized in Jesus' name and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. No matter what you build in this life, amen, you cannot take it with you. If the worldly system has our affection, God simply does not have our heart. This worldly system will pass away, but the Word of God, the Bible says, will endure forever. Amen. The Word of God, the will of God will endure forever. We must live, church, with eternity in view. How many know it's easy to get your mind, get your eyes off of the prize sometimes? It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted with busyness. It's easy to get distracted with disappointment. It's easy to get distracted with people who don't know what they're talking about. Can I tell you, you better be careful who you listen to tonight. You better be careful who's leading you tonight. You better be careful who's speaking into you tonight. Because if you're not careful, they'll pull you right around, right away from loving the world that God commanded you to love and cause you to love a worldly system that you should not be loving. You better be careful who you take your advice from, who you spend your time with. Amen. We got to live with heaven in view. Eternity is our goal. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Amen. And souls are eternal. And let me tell you something tonight. Jesus is coming soon. And we don't have time to play games tonight. Church, we're living in the most distracted generation in human history. We are the most distracted generation in human history. I'm young. I'm a spring chicken. But I can remember as a boy, all of these folks coming over to my parents' house and all of us just sitting around and laughing and having a good time and talking, people spending time together. Man, our house was always full. People ain't got time for one another no more. We are the most distracted generation that has ever lived in human history. And it's the truth. Whether we want to admit it or not, we gotta wake up and we gotta realize this distraction today, Brother Don. We got to realize we are the most distracted generation in human history. Let me just tell you a couple of things tonight. The average American spends over 7 hours a day on screens. That is amazing. amazing. 7 hours a day on screens. Over 50% of the people in the United States of America check their cell phone before their feet hit the floor in the morning and they get out of the bed. Don't lie, you do it. Come on, somebody. No, tell me you don't reach over on that nightstand and grab that cell phone and look at it before you ever even get out of the bed. I do it all the time, and I know many of you do it all the time. All right? We are the most distracted generation in the history of humanity. Many Christians spend more time scrolling than they do praying. Many Christians spend more time, amen, watching sports than they do worshiping God. Come on, many Christians spend more time on hobbies than they do on the Word of God. Can I tell you tonight that when hobbies become more important to you than the house of God is, come on, technology is not evil in itself, but you better be careful giving technology that much control and that much power in your life. Come on, we're living in a world where people rather go to sports games than they would to the house of God. You better repent. You better ask God to forgive you. I'm sorry, this ain't the church down the street. Come on, I'm trying to get somebody to heaven tonight. I'm trying to get somebody to wake up and understand we're a distracted people tonight. This is a distracted generation tonight. And we got to understand that what you put first in your life is your God. What you put first in your life is your God. Amen. And all these things have become more important to us than our relationship with God is. Technology in itself, hobbies in itself. Come on, I'm going to love to watch them Boilermakers beat up on them Hoosiers this year. I ain't mad at you for watching that sports game. But shame on you if you stay home from church to do it. I ain't mad at you for going to a ball game. I ain't mad at you for going golfing, going to do what you enjoy. God bless your heart. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Go do it. But when it comes before God, you got a problem in your life. You're a distracted child of God, and you need to understand tonight, amen, that these things will steal your salvation from you. Come on. These things will steal our salvation from us. Amen. And we got to understand, amen, sports, technology. Sports are not sinful. Amen. I don't mind that you play sports. I played basketball. I still love to play sports. I go golfing with the guys. Once in a while, they get me out there to show me how bad I am. Okay? And I enjoy it. I don't mind being the worst golfer at the scramble. Just don't give me a toilet bowl trophy. I don't want it. But I don't mind being the worst golfer. I understand that Brother Jacob can hit a ball harder than I can, okay? But he'll never look as good as me. He might hit the ball harder than me, but he'll never look as good as me hitting the ball, right? Amen. There's nothing wrong, inherently wrong with these things. It's just the church has to have its priorities right. The people of God got to understand that the world and the worldly system is different than the world that God has commanded us to love. We are to love the people. We're to love the broken. We're to love the hurting. But we're not to get wrapped up in a worldly system that wants to pull us away from the things of God. Amen. Come on, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about these things. But when your children know more stats than they do scripture, something's wrong. When your children knows more about Hollywood than they do David and Goliath, something's wrong. Come on, when your children can tell you how to get on YouTube, but they can't tell you how to get to Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, something's wrong. Why? Because we're a distracted people, and we're falling in love with a worldly system. Amen, and we let anything and everything come before God. I'm not speaking to you directly. I'm just warning this body tonight. I'm just warning this body tonight. Amen. We got to understand hobbies are not wrong, but when they get more devotion from us than Jesus does, our priorities have shifted. Come on, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. Amen. But God has to come first in our lives. God has to come first in our lives. Amen. Or our priorities have shifted. Technology can be a tool, can be a wonderful tool. Come on, I'm using an iPad for my scriptures tonight. Ain't nothing sinful about having an iPad, but you better watch what you look at on that iPad. You better make sure that that iPad ain't got you going somewhere you don't need to go. How there's nothing inherently wrong with technology, sports, hobbies, fellowship, all these things we love to do. But what matters most to us in our life? I want everybody in this church tonight to ask yourself, what matters most to you? Is God first in your life? That's what we got to ask ourselves tonight. Is God first in our life? Amen. Because anything that begins to control our emotions, begins to consume our time, begins to steal our thoughts, and begins to take us away from God becomes an idol. It becomes an idol. And I want to tell this church tonight, we're not just fighting sin, we're fighting for our focus. We are. One of your biggest battles tonight, it ain't that the devil's standing down here on the corner waiting on you. No, it's that the devil's trying to use your own flesh against you. The devil's trying to steal your focus. The devil, look, he don't have to get you to be the biggest sinner in the world. He just got to get you to be the worst saint in the world. He just got to steal your focus. He just got to get your attention off of the things of God. And when he does it, he's got you already. We're not just fighting sin. We're fighting for our focus tonight. And man, the Lord is calling his church back to purity. The Lord is calling his church back to holiness. The Lord is calling his church back to having a mind, amen, that stayed on him, putting him first in their life. Back to hearts that beat for his kingdom and for his people and for the broken and the hurting. But the worldly system is trying to dull our senses tonight. The worldly system is trying to dull our senses. It's trying to weaken our convictions. Can I tell you, the devil don't have to take your convictions away from you. He just got to weaken them. Come on, somebody. And before you know it, you can't handle your problems. And you can't handle your trials. And you can't handle what you're going through. You can be setting up in the church and not be able to handle your problems and trust God the way he intends for you to do. The devil is not stupid at what he does. And this is exactly what the writer was talking about when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man does, the love of the Father is not in him. Because you cannot have two masters. Something and somebody is going to come first in your life. Let me tell you something. That beautiful woman sitting next to you, she needs to understand she's not first in your life. God is. And that handsome man in your life, he needs to understand as he sits next to you, if you walk away from God, I'm going on without you because you don't come first in my life. The Lord does. Can I tell you, there's a reason why the Bible says a sanctified wife will make a sanctified husband. You're never going to win him by showing him unfaithfulness to God. It's not going to happen. They need to understand that God comes first in our lives today. The Lord is calling his church back to holiness. The Lord is calling us to minds that are stayed upon him. He's calling us to have hearts that beat for his kingdom and for his purpose. But the world wants to smother out that spiritual fire that's burning within you. Huh? The world wants you to believe it ain't that big of a deal to miss a Tuesday night. Come on, the enemy wants you to believe it ain't going to hurt you just to miss Sunday to go do it this week. Yeah, it is. Because let me tell you something, you're accountable to God for whatever got said, even when you wasn't there. If you're a member of this church, if I'm preaching tonight and you're staying home going to do something what you want to do, guess what? You're accountable unto God for what I said tonight. Because God knows you should have been here tonight. Ooh, man. Woo. It's getting hot in here. I'm about to have to take off my jacket. Amen. God does not want us to fall in love with a worldly system. He's calling us to separation. He's calling us to commitment. He's calling us to conviction. Amen. The Lord is calling his people to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The worldly system says follow your heart, but the word of God says guard your heart. I mean, no, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. The worldly system says live for the moment, but the word of God says lay up your treasures in heaven. How many know there's a big difference? There's a big difference tonight. The worldly system says do whatever feels good, but the word of God says deny yourself. There's a big difference. You don't just do it because it feels good. You take it to God and you ask God if it pleases him or if it doesn't. And if it doesn't please God, we don't need it. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Church, I'm telling you, I feel an unction tonight. There's an urgency in this hour. The church, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church is being infiltrated by the world. We're being infiltrated by a worldly system. And I come to tell this body tonight, we don't have time to get caught up in that mess. Because there's an urgency in this hour, and Jesus is coming soon. And the signs of the times are everywhere around us today. Everywhere around us. Wars, conflict, depression, moral decay. The love of many are growing and waxing cold, just like the Bible said it would. This is not the time to drift. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to lay down. This is not the time to become distracted. This is not the hour to get carnal on us. No, we got to stay spiritual. We got to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We got to trust in God just like the song said. Amen. This is not the season to flirt with a worldly system. I'm amazed at the amount of people nowadays who flirt with the enemy, flirt with a worldly system. Yeah, come on, it ain't how far separated from the world I can get. It's how close I can get to the world and still be in the church. Can I tell you, if you got that mindset, you got the mindset, you got the wrong mindset already. Amen. God is calling his people back to commitment. He's calling his people back to holiness, and he's calling his people back to purity. Amen. The trumpet's about to sound. We got to keep our hearts pure. We got to keep our minds stayed on Jesus. We got to keep our minds fixed on Jesus. Amen. If the enemy can't destroy you with sin, church, he'll destroy you with distraction. I've seen many of people who thought they were strong in Christ, but a little bit of distraction took them to their knees. It don't start out big. It starts out small. And the word of God lets us know it's the small foxes, Brother Jason, that spoils the vine. It's the little things that we think don't matter to God. Let me tell you something. The little things matter to God. The little things matter to God. Amen. And if the enemy can't destroy you with sin, come on, if you're a strong child of God today, he knows if you're not interested in getting drunk anymore, he knows not to distract you with a drink. He knows to distract you with a friend who wants you to get involved in something that'll keep you out of church on Sunday. Come on, if the enemy can't get you with sin, he'll get you with distraction. Come on, I'm not trying to be harsh to you tonight. I'm trying to warn this body that you got to keep God first in your life, because he will destroy you with distraction. If he can't tempt you with wickedness, he'll tempt you with busyness. Come on, how many's busy? How many's busier than you ever been? I am. Come on, I have to tell myself all the time, God ain't pleased. You need to slow it back just a little bit. You need to be careful of what you're doing here, because if the enemy can't tempt you with wickedness, he will get you with busyness. And God don't speak to busy minds. God speaks to minds that are stayed up on him, minds that are loving him, looking to him. Amen. And he'll tempt you with busyness. If he can't make you, let me tell you something, if he can't make you evil, he'll just make you ineffective. How many know you don't just be godly one day and evil the next day? There's an ineffectiveness in between. Come on, there's a being lulled to sleep in between. There's an idle mind and an idle soul in between. There's distraction in between. Can I tell you, the biggest sinners in the world didn't get there overnight. No, they got lured there over time. Amen. And if the enemy can't get you in one way, he's going to get you in another. And we got to notice the wiles of the devil. We got to take notice of how the enemy is trying to get us today. And the enemy is trying to get us through a worldly system. If he can't tempt you with wickedness, he'll tempt you with busyness. If he can't make you evil, he'll just settle for you being ineffective. I don't want to be ineffective. I want to be used by God. I want to speak into somebody's life. I want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see God move in somebody's life. I want to see somebody come out of addiction. I want to see somebody come out of depression. I want somebody to say, my life in Christ is the best life I ever lived. And Brother John Biddle led me there. I want to be effective for Jesus Christ today. The enemy will settle for your ineffectiveness. Because ain't nothing getting done when you settle for ineffectiveness. Come on. Amen. All it takes, church, for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. When the enemy's got you settling for ineffectiveness, no, God wants to use you for his glory. God wants to use you to speak into somebody's life. The danger is not only in what is wrong. Sometimes the danger is in what we put first. What do we put first today? We got to love the world as in the people, as in the men and the women and the children and the broken and the hurting and the addicted. We got to love the people. Amen. We got to love humanity. How many know God wants us to love humanity tonight? We must love them just as Jesus did. We got to love the world. Amen. Jesus was never attached to a worldly system. He wasn't. He was never attached to a worldly system. He never sought the world's approval. Come on, he never adopted the world's values. He never blended with the culture of his day. Come on, he lived among sinners, but he did not live like sinners. We can live among sinners, but we cannot be like sinners. There's a whole different thing there. Amen. We're called to shine in a dark world. We're called to be different than the world that we live in, not to blend into it. We're called to influence the world, not to imitate the world. How many know we got too many people imitating the world today? Amen. We're called to love souls. Amen. But we're called to hate sin also. We're called to reach the lost, but we're called to resist the system of worldliness that is before us today. Amen. People are eternal, but this world's system is temporary. It's temporary. We're falling in love with temporary things. Amen. And God is not pleased when we fall in love with temporary things. Church, hear your pastor today. This world is passing away. This world is coming to an end. This world is going down the drain so fast, it ain't even funny. If you don't think the end is nigh, you must have had your head in the sand. Because this world is going down, and it's going down fast. Only what is done for Christ, only what is done in your life in Christ is going to last. You better have your marriage built on Christ. You better have your finances surrendered to Christ. You better have your health in the hands of Christ. Come on. All these things we need to put in the hands of God today. Only what you build in Christ is going to last on a solid rock foundation. Only what is done in obedience to his will matter when we stand before God. Come on. Ain't nobody going to care that you won the cornhole tournament when you get to heaven. Huh? Ain't nobody gonna care that you won the trunk or treat contest when you get to heaven. No, the Lord's gonna say, how much did you love my people? How much did you speak into the broken and the hurting? How faithful to me were you when you were giving the opportunity? That's what's going to matter to God. That's what's going to matter to God. Only what is done in obedience to him is going to matter when we stand before him. We got to offer and we got to set our affections on things above. Because all this is temporary. All this is temporary. And we got to set our affections on things above, not on things of earth. We got to pursue purity. We got to keep our minds stayed on the Lord, church, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And there is a whole different thing in loving the world and loving the system of the world. Come on. How many know that you can take anything and make it a sin? I'll give you one. You can take your love for your husband and make it a sin. You put your husband before God, he's out of his place. You put your wife, you put your children, you put your grandchildren, anything you put before God, it's out of place and it becomes a sin. Amen. We got to keep God first in our lives as we stand all over this house. Amen. As our musicians come quickly, I'm asking every heart tonight to listen to the words that I'm speaking. We are called to love people. We are called to encourage people and live a life of godliness before people. But we are not to allow people to pull us down into the pit that they're in. That's transitioning from loving the world as God commanded to loving the system of worldliness that God despises. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Church, we got to be careful what we love. We got to be careful what we give our affection to tonight. Amen. And I'm asking every heart to consider where you stand in Christ tonight. Has there been a distraction in your life? Is technology, is hobbies, is entertainment, is Hollywood, is a lazy boy, is worldly influences begin to pull at your heart? Are they pulling you away from Jesus Christ? Because there's nobody under the sound of my voice who has not been distracted at some point in time or another, including myself. There's nobody in this room that is so good that you cannot be distracted by your enemy. There's nobody in this room that is so much like Jesus and so holy that you can't fall and you can't become ineffective. All you got to do is take your eyes off of the Lord for a few moments. All you got to do is be distracted by irrelevant things. All you got to do is begin to put the things of this worldly system before the things of God. Come on, and begin to let these things pull at your heart. If you need to realign your focus, this altar is open tonight. I want the Lord to create in me a clean heart. I want the Lord to renew in me a right spirit. I want the Lord to keep me close to him. Amen. You can lay it down tonight. Whatever it is that's pulling you away from God, whatever it is that's distracting you, you can surrender it to God tonight. You can say, Lord, just cleanse my heart, cleanse my hands. Come on, purify my mind tonight. Restore my focus unto your kingdom and your purpose in my life tonight. Help me to love souls, but don't let me get caught up in a worldly system. Don't let me get caught up in a worldly system, Lord, that wants to destroy me. Why? Because the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon, and we need to be ready, and we need to be pure, and we need to be holy, and we need to be watching for his soon coming. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord all over this house for just a few moments tonight. Let's just worship him. Let's just love him. Amen. How many know the Lord wants us to be like him tonight? The Lord wants us to have passion for him tonight. The Lord wants us to love him first above everything tonight. Amen. He's a jealous God. Love not the world. Come on, love not the world tonight.